Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hear that, Judy?
Yeah, but your chair hasn't gone down.
I can't. I can't find the pedal.
Oh,
here we go.
God's
I went down.
Woo! Woo!
That's all you need in your life. You need either a camel that you go woo when you get on, or one of those an office chair where you go woo when you go down.
It's quite a ride for us. That's quite thrilling.
Hello. Hey, we've got email. We've got email too. Did you know we had an email address?
Well, I didn't know, but I'm not surprised. Everything's got an email address, hasn't it, really?
What's ours, then? Let's remind our listener. I said listener.
Let's hope we've got more than one.
Right, so our podcast address is...
Older... you're asking me. Sorry. Yes. olderwiderpod@gmail.com. That's quite snazzy, isn't it?
Anyway, we got a couple of emails. We got three in total. Hello, Jenny and Judith. Thank you so much for your fab podcast. I've listened to them all over the past few days on holiday. You're so funny. She's uncontrollably laughing on the sunbed. Oh, they must hate her at that resort. They're mad old bat.
Don't care, she's put at the end. Mark.
Anyway, your most recent podcast narrated the terrible woes of lawn mowing.
Yes, that was me, wasn't it?
Yeah, I haven't got a lawn.
No.
Have you thought of a robot mower?
I have thought of one, and I've never used one.
Well, this woman, right, she's just retired, 30 years as a doctor. Yes. Enough, she goes in brackets. Just had enough. And she started to say, you see, I thought it was a lovely email saying how wonderful we are. She's touting for business. She started to sell robot lawn mowers from my home with my husband. Bit of a career change, but more holes planned.
Well, it's very enterprising of her, isn't it?
She's been very bright at sending us this email. There she goes on. With a robot mower, you just let it get on with its job. No composting, no worries. Sadly, no orgasms.
Well, I think if it's getting on with the job, effectively that could be an orgasm. I beg to differ.
Well,
but
it'll give you some free time for masturbating on your sun lounger. But hey-ho, with all that spare time, that's what she says. Have a little look at our website, www.therobotmower.co.uk. Okay.
I wonder if she's suggesting that I might borrow one, try one out.
Well, that's...
I could do, couldn't I?
You might have to get in touch with www.therobotmower.co.uk. We've got another one, though. Hey, Judith, do you want to read
yes,
this one
Yes, dear
out?
Jenny and Judith, I absolutely love your podcast.
What's
nice. Talking? It makes me laugh and smile and feel like I'm in the company of silly friends.
Silly friends? Who's that?
Who brighten up my day. Well done, the two of you.
Well done, you.
Now, Jenny, I can help you with your exercise colouring in spreadsheet. I teach dance and fitness to the over 50s, and I think my classes would be just the thing you need in your weekly schedule.
I've got another freebie.
Yeah, looking that way, isn't it? A bit of dance, a bit of Pilates, and a bit of yoga combined to help you stay strong and supple. I trained when I was 56 and have been teaching for 7 years.
I'd have to travel to Shaftesbury in North Dorset, but it's worth it to exercise with like-minded women, she says, who have fun as their top priority.
Oh, do you want to be with people who have fun as their top priority? Are you sure you want that?
I like fun not as a top priority, as a sort of third or fourth priority.
And she says you are both brilliant. Well, we are, aren't we?
That's very nice indeed. So,
fair good.
It's very kind, Anne, but I'm getting on with my own exercise regime. I've joined this rather smart gym.
Yes.
We've talked about this, and I'm going to have to remind you. It's the e-gym thing where there are 18 machines and they're German designed. And anyway, I've done it once and then I did it another time. And then a man actually took me around and actually sort of found out what my strengths were. And I'm not sure I told you this, but at the end of it all, after about half an hour of taking me around these machines, he got my sort of bio something weight and age from it.
Oh, God, scary.
Well, from the waist up, I am a 53-year-old woman.
Oh!
Yes, I've knocked a few years off because in actual fact, I'm 59. So, you know, I have the upper muscle strength of a 53-year-old.
Yes.
From the waist down, I'm 75.
No.
Yes.
Are you serious?
75 years old.
And what happens if you add them together and divide in two? Have you done that?
Do you know what? I'm going to do that sum right now. So we've got 53 and 75. 5 and 3
128,
is 8. 64. I've done very badly. I'm 5 years older. My mean mood and medium age is 5 years older than
I'm
I should be.
I'm surprised you didn't do that straight away. I'd have done that immediately. Right. Now I want mine done to see if I, how I compare.
Well, I think your bottom half is stronger than mine. I really do. But, I, you know, he said that I keep, if I keep coming to class and doing as I'm doing now, I won't recognise myself by the end of the summer. I thought, what do you mean by the end of the summer? That's too late for me. That is too late for me.
He knows how to motivate a woman, doesn't he?
I need to be fit by the beginning of summer. Because otherwise,
well, sort of
what's
now,
the point?
Isn't it? Like in a couple of weeks.
Well, it's been. We've had it. I mean,
we
in
have,
the old days.
We have.
I mean, with global warming, we might get some more. But, I mean, the old days, that sometimes would have been it for the summer.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, when I lived in the northeast, that literally would have been
it.
That would
have been a heat wave.
That would have been the weekend you used your garden furniture, and the rest of the time, that's curtains.
You never got your feet out. You never got your feet out for a sock, did you?
We had the most glorious garden in Hexham. And honestly, I think I could count on one hand the number of evenings that we could stay out after about 6:30.
Well, I remember coming to stay with you in Hexham, and you were forever saying, as soon as there was, we'd be writing together. Mm. And these dull grey clouds scudding across the sky. And you'd be forever looking out of the window, looking for a glimmer of sun. If there was a glimmer of sun, right, and it was like sort of March, April, you'd go, oh, we could have lunch in the garden. And I would think, you absolute maniac.
Well, because there wouldn't be any sense of urgency for you because you live down south.
Absolutely
not. If you live in the northeast, it's just a tiny chink of sunshine. You had to be out in it doing
things. Do you
remember
also you bought that terrible swimming pool?
Oh, I know.
And when you were going
it was a really cheap
swimming
pool, wasn't it? It was an above ground thing, sort of structure, really.
That, it was like, you know those gas tanks that you see in sort of around Battersea and all that? It was like this big round structure that you had to climb a ladder to get into
it. Yeah, you did. I used to get worried that I wouldn't be able to get out, that the ladder would disappear and I'd stay in there for the whole day.
And then
nobody would find
me. You dunked yourself in and you swam around in circles.
Yeah. Oh my God,
it was really cold.
Honestly,
it
really was. It was cardiac time, that was. It was very sort of white trash as well, wasn't it? But I loved it, actually. I did love it.
You have a tiny bit of white trash. For a posh girl who lives in a sort of an Oxford kind of idyll, you still have a teeny bit of trash in you.
I do. Well, I do. And
which
you know
I think
what?
Is why I still like you.
Is
I
it?
Think if it wasn't
is
for
it?
The trash.
Aww.
You do,
do you
need...
mean you still like me? So that sounds as if it's going to be in question. Yes,
friend.
You're right. And do you know what I found myself looking at recently? Hmm. Caravans.
Oh, yeah, you see
thinking,
that's the trash coming out.
You know, because we used to go on holiday to reel in a caravan.
We see, we used to go to on holiday in a caravan, but we used to go to Lake Como. Because weirdly, I'm the other way around from you. I'm
you
sort
are,
of total
you?
Trash, but I have this streak of posh in me.
Well, I think you have more than a streak
no,
of posh
no,
in you.
No, it's not that much.
Yes,
and
you
I'm
do.
Kind of, I'm making sure that I get rid of it. But no, we had the smallest caravan in the world.
But aren't caravans lovely? Do you? I mean, that feeling, I don't know whether it was the same for you, but even when it was raining,
well,
it didn't rain
in Lake Como.
Oh, no, I suppose it wouldn't. Well, it did in bloody real, I can tell you. But just that feeling, it was like a big sort of Wendy house on wheels, wasn't it?
Cozy,
and it was little, tiny little dainty little saucepans and cupboards and little things that folded out. And I'd quite like one.
And what you like as well is the dining room table. I say dining room table. Like there was another one, like there was a kitchen table and an occasional table and a nest of tables in the caravan. There was one table and then you swivel it round at night time and make it into
a
bed.
That's right.
And then me and my sister slept on a shelf. But
did you?
Yeah.
Above the cab? Above, you know, or did you have to go up on a little ladder?
I can't remember.
I think you did.
I think my dad just threw us up. It was a bit like that, you know, he was a bit army. Okay, one, two, three, up you go. And no, they bought, God, I remember this, it was called a Sprite 400. Now you can Google the Sprite 400. And it is officially the smallest caravan in the world because it's made for Sprites. It actually is elf size.
Do you know, I think part of it is that, I'm not proud of this. Part of it is that I thought, well, maybe I could park it in the garden. And have a little den of my own / caravan.
Oh, Judith.
For the winter, you see.
Oh, yes, you've got a clever thing going on.
Do you think?
Yes, now, we have to think whether you want to go sort of modern rather vulgar. But all mod cons.
Yeah, indeed. Well, this is a big decision.
And I don't, whether you want to go a little bit retro.
Yeah, you see, I think very interesting, looking at the stuff, and I have been looking at it online, is the retro stuff is kind of acceptable. You know, it's like the middle class acceptable thing of
put
a caravan.
Put some gingham curtains up.
Oh, yes, all that fire pits and all water log burners and all that stuff.
I don't think you can have a log burner inside a caravan.
Oh, you can, I found out. Oh, okay, yes, you can, you can, you can. You so can.
You're going to have to put a chimney in it, otherwise you're going to die.
Oh, I haven't thought about that. But anyway, you can do them anyway. But yes, but you see, I think that the trouble is, well, first of all, the retro ones are about a squillion times more expensive than
but
the ones with
all the... They're so cute.
But they're probably deeply impractical. But the ones with all mod cons, I mean, they're probably amazing. But you know what I thought I could do? I thought I could put it in the garden. Thought I could put it in the garden. That could be my summer house, my den. And I could park it in front of the summer house, couldn't I?
What do you mean park it in front of? In front of Mike's? To block his view? Judith, there's absolutely no reason for you to do that apart from sheer spite.
Well, but...
Why can't you just park it further into the garden
well,
away
I
from
could
his...
Well, but it's just that where he's got his summer house is all sunny.
Why don't you just demolish his summer house? Why don't you just put a great big stick of dynamite underneath it?
It might be easier, mightn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
might
honestly, Judith, the absolute
it's worrying,
venom.
Isn't it? It's just worrying. I was thinking that the caravan might be a rather nice, don't you think? I'd need a dog, because obviously I'd need to go on holiday in my caravan with a dog.
Mm. Maybe we should have a dog share.
Oh, well, we'd fall out, wouldn't we?
Yeah, so much.
We'd fall out. I'd attribute all its bad behaviour to its time with you.
I would leave all the training to you.
It'd be that bad, would it?
I'd tell you what kind of share we'd have. I'd say you can have it for the first 6 months. And once it knows what it's doing and it's completely toilet trained.
And it's shat in the house a lot.
Yeah, once it's soiled all your carpets.
then you'd want it.
And chewed all your shoes. And then I'll have it then. I think we've come adrift on our choice of breed as well. Because when you go, you see, you know when I say you've got this... this tiny streak of common that runs through you.
Yes.
That doesn't go to dogs. You are quite traditional when it comes to your dog.
That's very true.
You've never had a common dog.
I have. I had a poodle when I was little.
I don't. Well, they're tiny beasts.
Well,
my grandmother
they are a bit
was a
crap,
poodle.
Aren't
they? No, I love a poodle.
Yeah, well, yes, I know. But it's a bit naff, isn't it? Poodles are a bit naff.
How old were you when you got a poodle?
Oh, I think I was about 12. I nagged my parents for it.
Oh, no, that's
it was called
charming.
Mitzi. And it was called Mitzi.
My grandmother's poodles were all called Mitzi.
Were they?
What was
they
it
really?
With me? Yes.
They have got rather bad breath, though, and they get that horrible...
Well, so have I. So we can just breathe into each other's faces and slobber all over each other.
But yes, you're right. I probably have got the sort of county streak. Insofar as I do have a county streak, it probably does manifest itself in potential choice of dogs.
Yes. You go down your Labrador route. And you have a gilet, you see.
I have a what?
You have a gilet.
Oh, yes, I do. I have several gilets. I'd go the whistle route as well.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, you'd train it, wouldn't you, to do two whistles and come back on the... Oh, for God's sake, Jenny, you've got a lot to learn.
I can't even whistle.
No, you get a whistle on a string to do it. Yeah. I think you sound like a part-time dog owner potentially to me.
I don't want a dog that obeys a whistle.
Oh, well, you wait till you take it to Camberwell Park and it fucking well doesn't come back. You bloody wait until you're there saying... Whatever you call it, Betty.
Camberwell Green, you can't take dogs to Camberwell Green.
Okay. Why doesn't somebody lend you a dog? Now, that would be interesting.
There's a group you can join, which is where you walk dogs for elderly neighbours and you sort of join a community group which helps people out. You know, say maybe they've broken a leg or whatever and they need Towser taking around the park.
Right.
I'd only take attractive dogs out, though. I'd have to go around and ring the bell and go, may I have a look at your dog first?
Yes, I'm not sure about this
because
one.
I don't do Alsatians.
No.
And there's quite a lot, you know, those ones with strange faces. I'm not doing those either. It's very, very difficult, isn't it? Because I did the quiz. Remind me if I've said this before. I did the online quiz.
It's a clever idea, isn't it? So this is a multiple choice quiz Yes. Well, I obviously need to do this.
And you tick boxes as to sort of, you know, how much exercise you can do a day, how much grooming you're prepared to do, how long the dog might be left alone.
How large the turds are that you want, etc.
The turd question isn't in there.
Well, that should be the question number one.
Question number one.
How many turds do they do and how big are they?
And are they wet or dry?
Well, I think that depends on what they've eaten. But I think we should rein ourselves in here on the turd conversation.
I want pellet.
But you know what? We need to stop talking about it and do it, because the girl said to me on Saturday, they said, "Mum, will you stop talking about getting a dog? Either you're doing it or you're not."
Oh, she took it off the pot.
I know.
Was it that kind of thing?
Certainly. So I think we need to stop talking about it.
I saw a couple of Bedlington Terriers, though, Judy.
Oh, now I like the sound of them.
Now, have you seen them?
No.
Well, we'll get Daisy produces here, and she's going to pull up a picture of a Bedlington Terrier. And I just want to see your reaction. I want to see whether you go, ooh, or ooh.
Okay, right. Oh, I like Bedlington Terrier. Do you know what it reminds me of? You know those old-fashioned antique little dogs that had the wheels and the push-along things?
That's a different one. I know exactly. That's an Airedale, and Jeff's interested in Airedales.
Oh, I like both of those. Very nice.
So, we're narrowing down our selection of
dogs. Can I be its godmother and have it come to the country occasionally for holidays?
I like this idea.
I could do that, couldn't I? Yes. I like that idea. Now, look, I want to talk about my summer wardrobe.
Oh.
Because...
Well, I've seen that
dress
before.
What do you think of my dress?
I've seen it before.
You have not.
Oh, my God.
You have not.
Oh, my goodness. I think I know what you might have done.
Yes.
Judith has made. Have you made this?
I have. I've made it.
Oh, Judith.
What do you think?
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think?
Oh, I... Do you know what?
I'm so proud of myself.
Genuinely. Oh, we have to take a full-length photo. Judith, where did you get the pattern from?
Oh, well, it's a very easy pattern. I haven't made anything in about 40 years, okay?
Yes. This is the ultimate show and tell.
But what's great is that you didn't, when I walked in, you didn't say, oh.
That looks homemade.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
you didn't, did you?
No, because you'd wear quite a lot of shift dresses, so I did presume that I might have seen it before, because that is one of your styles.
And then I have got a bit of a sort of polka dot habit, and I've probably got things in that fabric, but...
This is a navy and white, navy background, white polka dot. But you can go so wrong with a polka dot, because this has got panels in and you've matched up your polkas.
It's quite nicely fitted, isn't it? Don't you think? It sort of fits me all right.
You've got bust darts.
I know, I got bust darts and these funny little darts here. I had lots of trouble with the zip. I didn't finish it until about 12 o'clock last night and I had to get a neighbour to help me with the zip. But, you know, I am quite sort of heartened. I think all in all... It probably took me about 4 hours.
Oh, Judith, that's less than going into town and trying things on.
It's all right, isn't it? Yes, well, you know, it is. And so I've seen some material. I'm going to make myself a grey one. And I feel I'm on a bit of a roll.
Well, I think that you can... You know, my friend Vanessa... who helped me bring Phoebe up and is one of the most remarkable women in the world. She got into this and the next thing she did was she got a dummy, a tailor's dummy, and had that fitted to exactly her proportions.
Great idea.
And I think that might be your way forward.
Yes.
So when you get the caravan...
Yes. It could be my sewing HQ, couldn't it?
It does need to be big enough to be able to take you, the dog, and the tailor's dummy.
Yeah. God, I could have some happy hours in that caravan.
You just lock that door, you never come out.
No, would you come and stay?
Well, if there was a little bunk, yeah. Thank you. Oh, that's great. We've got our future panned out. We really have. Judith, I'm going to give you a gold star for
that.
Thank you.
Really a gold star?
Yeah, I've never given you a gold star before.
I deserve a gold star.
I've known you for 10 years. You've never had a gold star from me before, but this is gold star territory. Well done.
Chuffed.
And Judith, do you know what? We've got a guest coming in. It's a full show. We've got the... Oh, I don't know how to explain and describe Jade Adams, because she's like no one else. She's a comedian, she's a singer, she's a dancer, she is all things and she is mighty.
I think a force of nature is how people describe people like that.
More than that.
Yeah. A force of nature plus, plus, plus.
Another gold star for you.
Now, steady on. There's too many gold stars all of a sudden. You're going to devalue them.
They mean nothing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Yeah, we have this as our theme tune,
Jane. Oh, I love a little theme tune.
You can do what you like to it. You can move, you can groove, you can click your fingers, tap your feet.
Oh, she's good at clicking her fingers. Look at that. Gosh, they're making pop a noise click. And everything.
Women on a podcast, women on a podcast.
Hey, do you know what?
Wow.
We might employ her.
Wow.
Jade Adams has swanned into the podcast studio, as we like to call it. And that's a meaty click of those fingers.
A little. I couldn't do that when I was younger, when I used to do freestyle disco dancing, and clicking was a massive part of that, and I couldn't do it.
Did you fake it, though? Just sort of just...
You just rub them together.
Yeah, now stand next to the girl who could and just pretended her click was your click. Jade Adams, how do you describe yourself? Because I don't think you're just a straightforward stand-up.
No, I'm not a straightforward stand-up, although I am a stand-up, but I'm also an actress, I was a dancer, I sing, I can beatbox, rap, I'm also really good at graphic design, I am a bit of a renaissance woman.
Do you want a gold star like I've just given to Judith?
I would love one, but I'm not wearing anything I've made today.
No, but you're rather multi-talented, aren't you? I think that's two gold stars.
Okay, what's your top talents then? What are the things that you know you can bring out of the bag and knock people sideways with?
I think I am doing the two things that I'm best at. There would have been a three. It would have been comedy, making people laugh, singing and dance. But dance disappeared 3 years ago because I damaged my left knee doing a scissor kick to PJ and Duncan's Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
God damn PJ and Duncan. Well, and listen, I think you should be able to sue Ant and Dec because they, of course, are PJ and Duncan in their darker years.
I haven't yet because I am from a world in which lots of people sue lots of people for very minor things. And so I've always sort of...
Why are you from that world?
Well, it's the world outside of London, isn't it? You know, people that, you know, like, have you those adverts, have you had an accident? It isn't your fault. I mean, that would essentially have been the people I grew up with that had been phoning up going, yeah, I tripped over accidentally on purpose.
Okay, so you're going to let them off the... So bad, is it your crucial ligament?
It's my anterior cruciate ligament. So it's a tiny little ligament you have in the back of your knee, but it doesn't grow back. I've had an operation to replace it, but I lost a lot of confidence with moving because it was the single greatest pain I've ever been in, and I haven't had a baby, but this was like having a baby out of my knee.
They don't come out of knees.
They don't come out of knees.
There'll be somewhere in the world where a child has been born from a knee.
There will be eventually.
Yeah, but in America, someone will have been born from a knee.
But I just lost confidence. So I'm not as good a dancer as I used to be.
Like, yeah, I bet you can still move it a bit though.
Oh, I definitely can. It never leaves you. It's like riding a bike, which I didn't do until I was 15, I'll be honest. But dance, I can move and I can impress people because I'm big. It's quite impressive how I do move.
Yeah, where do you dance in the kitchen? Do you dance at home?
I used to dance competitively. So every Sunday for 13 years, I used to competitively dance.
What was your thing? What was your speciality?
Having an asthma attack to get out of it.
We've all done that. But did you do ballroom?
No, it's called freestyle disco dancing.
Okay.
It's like gymnastics. It's like gymnastics, techno, and jazz all came together in one group. It's not a big world until you're in it, and then you realize. You know, like how Baz Luhrmann brought ballroom dancing to the mainstream? I want to do it with disco dancing because there has been a Channel 4 documentary about it called Strictly Baby Disco. And there was like a woman with her child.
She
and the child's like
eight.
It was like that. But really pushy. My mum was never pushy. She didn't let me quit, though. I was never allowed to quit because she wanted to teach me all about failure and how I can triumph through it. So I was never allowed to quit. She was like, you never stick at anything, so you're going to stick at this. So 13 years she forced me to do it. And my sister did it. She was really good at it.
You lost your sister, didn't you?
I did, yeah, today actually. Eight years today.
I'm so sorry. That's a miserable thing to have to remember.
It's not really. It is, but it's like also it's like nice now. It's 8 years, so yeah. You sort of get used to the loss.
You and she danced together.
Yes, we did.
You better than her.
No, she was better than me, which is why she turned out to be useless, because she did something that she was good at for 14 years,
yeah.
Whereas I did something I was rubbish at for 14 years. And even if she was alive, I'd still been more successful than her.
Well, that's a relief.
People always say to me, they're like, she would have been. They always say, I said this to someone the other day, they always say to me, oh, she would have been really proud. And I'm like, no, she wouldn't. Oh, she'd have been furious.
Absolutely. Yeah, she'd have been thrilled about your knee. She'd be rubbing her hands with glee. So the singing, though, was because I saw you first. In my imagination, I think you arrived pretty fully fledged onto the comedy circuit. I think that over the last 5 years, women in comedy got bored of the restrictions of comedy.
Yeah.
And just thought, I want to be in this business, but I don't want to do it in that one woman, one microphone, blah, blah, blah gag.
Yeah.
I want to be a lot more experimental than that. And I think that that's where women's performance in comedy has become so much more interesting. And there's this huge raft of women saying and doing interesting things that just hadn't been around for a long time. And I will put you on that raft.
Thank you. I'd like to be on that raft.
Oh, well, that's a pleasure. You can have it momentarily. So I saw you a couple of years ago with a show where you combined. Tell us about that show. It was one of your early, because every year you go up to Edinburgh and you sort of prove your point, it seems.
Yes, as in prove my...
Well, prove your mettle and also sort of push your barriers and push the audience's barriers to what women in comedy can do.
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm not actually fully aware that I'm doing that. I only sort of go up and do what I can do. And that's, I use all of the things that I can do and then try and impress people with it. I went up, my first show was about my sister, and I sort of combined all the stuff that I do into one show. I had the influence from the drag queens were in there, so I lip synced my own mother at the top of the show, and then it sort of launched me into a story of my life, always being the least talented member of my family, and I'm a walking, talking Britain's Got Talent contestant, I'll be honest with you.
Well, you started on the fish counter in Asda, as I remember. See, that's a huge tick if you're on Britain's Got Talent, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get you straight in the final.
I would have been in there like that. Yeah. It was a story. It was 55 minutes of me talking. There were some like set pieces in there. I sort of took people through what it was like for me to imagine how I lost my virginity. And then I showed them how I actually lost my virginity.
How did you lose your virginity? This is because I didn't see this.
I lost my virginity very quickly with a lad at school who was 15, who then denied it and still does. And I named and shamed him in the show. And
well, I'm surprised you weren't sort of named and shamed yourself, because isn't that slightly illegal?
What, at 15?
Yeah.
Well, we were both
15.
15. It's not illegal then, is it?
I was 15 and he was 22.
Ooh.
Which is a bit illegal. I know his name and everything, but I'd never dob him in it because I was more than willing.
Carries on. So I sort of combine all the stuff that I do. I use everything I've ever picked up, any little talents I've picked up, I sort of shove it into a show, and I always have like an over a sort of thing I want to talk about. And I think that the first show was very much a personal story that a lot of people have related to, which is about sibling loss and me figuring out who I was because I lost her, because I couldn't when she was alive, because she was very much in my way. So I had the uncomfortableness of
there's
this
a slight undertone that you might have killed her.
I sometimes tell people I did, but I didn't. No,
good.
She died of a brain tumour. But a lot of siblings will relate to this, when you have a sick sister or brother, they tend to take up your parents' time a lot, and they have to. It's just, it's an awful thing to go through. But when you're the other sibling, it's hard. And so I also had like, I love and I miss my sister terribly, but I also found myself because I lost her, because I had to, because the thing that had always meant that I wasn't very confident because I always had this person that I, you know, I idolised.
How old were you when she died?
It was in 2011, and that was 8 years ago, and I'm 34. So I was 25, 26 when she died.
And how old was she?
She was 27, 28. Oh, my goodness, mate. 29. Yeah, 28 she was, yeah. Mm. Just off of that rock star age of dying.
She wasn't 27. She'd done that. Yeah, she's 28.
She lived her 27th year. She was like, no, I'm gonna stay.
Not
going to
be the cliche.
No, she didn't want to be a cliche. She actually wasn't a cliche at all. It's been since she's died that I've realised quite how different she is to everyone I know now. Like, my sister's reactions to things were... I have access to her Facebook account, because Facebook turn past loved ones into they do a memorial page, and I didn't want that to happen because it means you don't have full access. And I want to read her messages and how she spoke to people. And I was reading her messages, and I never really sort of, and this was yesterday, I never really sort of acknowledged how kind she was, because I always take the mick out of her all the time. And, you know, I sort of laughed. Like, my sister discovered she had cancer, she started smoking more cigarettes, and like, she wasn't your archetypal, like, cancer survivor. She was someone who had it, and it sort of became her personality, and I really resented her for it, because I wanted her to, like, fight it. I wanted her to do, there's a friend of mine called Chris Hallinger who runs Copperfield, which is a charity that encourages young
testicular cancer, isn't it?
No, breast cancer young women, because she discovered she had breast cancer at 21, and she's still alive 9 years later, and they like gave her like a ridiculous amount of time to live, and she's still alive now, and she's like got the fastest growing charity in the country. So like, she hates this, and if she listens to this, I'm so sorry, Chris, but she's massively inspiring. But she hates that word. But my sister never achieved anything near that, and I'm in a world where if someone gets sick or some traumatic thing happens to someone, we like, it turns into like a big thing. And if I got cancer, guys,
I'd make a show of it. I'd at least take it up to Edinburgh.
It'd be a show. I'd be raising money. I'd shave me out. I'd be painting myself. Like, I paint my head all different colours. Like, I'd go for it. But my sister wasn't like that. And I think what I love is that actually most of the country aren't like that. There's a lot of people across the UK that get cancer and they die. And their mark that they leave is very small in comparison to the marks that we're aware of in our industry. And that's like, I've been going into a hospital recently because my boyfriend, grandmother is not very well, and like, there are all these women around who are not very well, and I sort of just was walking around like Patch Adams making them laugh. I told them I was in an advert, and they know the advert. And
you weren't wearing clown shoes?
No, I was in red, yellow and blue, so I did look a bit like a clown.
And you have got dyed ginger hair at the moment.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you've gone a bit full patch. The women in the hospital recognised you from your advert, where you managed to do something quite extraordinary, which was be funny in an advert for bingo.
Yeah. It's won awards, that advert.
I'm not surprised, because did you push to do what you did in the end of that?
They actually came to see the show that you saw. So yeah, they saw that second show and saw that I rap and I beatbox. And then from that show, I got this huge contract with this bingo company. And that was basically how it happened. They saw me doing it in Edinburgh, and I got this. And I'm now the face of bingo in the UK. I've just done another advert as well. It's about to come out. It's really good as well. We think it's going to be brilliant. But they're really like the...
I'm really surprised, because most adverts only allow you to use a kind of eighth of your personality. You know, they just don't want to frighten the horses. And to do something where it is so you, I'm thinking about one in a swimming pool. Forgive me for not remembering every single minute detail, but I might have switched it off out of jealousy. but I just thought, oh, here is an advert where I felt that they'd listen to you. And allowed you to be.
How fantastic is that?
Yeah, they came up with the concept after they saw my show, and they basically constructed something, and they got the director of it was Jack Clough of who does People Just Do Nothing. He directs that, and so they had a comedy director do it, and then they sort of they wanted to have a comedian in it. They'd seen me do the rapping, and I think all of this stuff just fell into place. And it's the ad agency that run it are like really cool and like fresh and modern, and they're doing really well. And I actually got a phone call from a friend of mine who's not in the industry, and he was like, why are you on? He took a photo. He was in a lecture hall. He was at a lecture for the use of comedians in, like, this is why using comedians in adverts is a good idea.
I do Vagisan.
Oh, do you?
Yes. As I do the itchy front bottom cream. Yes. I'm proud to be the face of
I'm proud of you for doing that as well.
I got quite a lot of stick. Did you get, different kind of stick? I mean, bingo apart, because some people, is it gambling, is it not gambling, blah, blah, blah. In the old days, when comedians did adverts, I'm talking about back in the 80s, it was so frowned upon. It was really thought of selling out. Did you have any second thoughts? Did you have any doubt? Did you get any stick?
I've had a little bit of, just not much. People don't really come at, well, I say that, we'll have another discussion about something else in a minute.
Oh, yes, I want to get to that later.
So I don't normally get a stick online. I think there must be a feeling that, I don't know why it is, but I thought I would get a lot more than I did for it. But actually people, I think because the advert's good and it's funny and all of that
and
stuff.
And it's all, you know, there's an authenticity about it. And I think that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that the amount it's on television seems to annoy people the most. But I haven't had like a huge amount of stick for it. I've had a tiny bit of it. And the thing is before I make any decisions, I sort of had to make sure that I knew, like I can't sleep at night if I do something and it's just there for gain and I can't think of, like the money was so great and I've spent, you know, 15 years being a waitress until 3 years ago when
that money gives you the opportunity to write and do the things you really want to do. Those are going to be the things that make the big difference.
Exactly. And also it platforms me in a world that I definitely want to be in. It gives me, like, as lots of people, you know, say about the newspaper, they've got lots of thoughts about it, but it is the most read newspaper in the country. And if I can encourage, like, you know, a bloke from Wigan who reads it, you know, on his way to work, to come and watch a show and see me wamble on about how much I love gays, like, you know, I might, it might do something. It might not.
A platform of persuasion, you can call it.
Yes.
Talking about getting stick in other arenas, though, I did notice on Twitter that you were having to do a little bit of defending yourself. And I'd like you to tell us about this. It doesn't seem like a huge Twitter storm, but it has been a bit of a Twitter storm. I mean, you have had death threats. So it's not that big a deal, but you know.
I had a little death threat, a little casual one. I don't think it was a real one, but
Probably about 15?
Yeah, I've really upset teenagers.
Have you? I'm intrigued to know how.
What happened was Perry Edwards from Little Mix posted a very important statement about her mental health and anxiety, which obviously a girl like that with a platform like she has, it's very important to be saying stuff like that. All power to her for being brave enough to talk about
honest.
It. My issue and something I sort of joked about was I didn't know why that message had to come alongside an image that is of with impossible beauty standards. Like, she looks incredible in the photo. She posted this photo and she hasn't got her body out or anything like that. She's just pouting into a camera and she looks incredible. And I thought, well, this is a situation in which those two things, I think, are cancelling each other out, because maybe some of the reasons why her followers might suffer with anxiety and some of the messages I've got from people. There was a lovely girl I spoke to who was like, I don't necessarily agree with everything you said, but I understand that this is an issue. And like, it was for a 15-year-old girl that suffers with her own mental health issues. It was a really sweet message she got. And I said, I just congratulated her on being a kind, considerate person that did this. That's all you can do in those situations. But I sort of congratulated her and I said, take some time off of social media during the day. It might help your head a bit. And she was like, that's a really good idea. So
it is a good idea.
Yeah.
But you got a bit of a pounding from some of the Little Mix.
Little Mix and a mother of a daughter in Little Mix. And she called me a big fat pig. She said to me, she called me an orangutan.
Oh my goodness.
She said that monkey, because I posted a photograph of me yesterday doing a selfie and it said, I'm thinking about climate change. It was obviously a joke.
Yeah, and then you put what lipstick you were wearing.
Yeah, I put lipstick in the shirt
which
I was wearing.
Very, very pertinent, very good satirical comment on what a lot of Instagrammers are doing. You know,
exactly.
I am so serious about this issue, that issue. By the way, this dress is
from Monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she was writing to Monkey going, Monkey, you shouldn't allow her to buy her clothes. I mean, they didn't give me the shirt. I went and got it in the shop. Like, you can't stop me. Anyway, so I upset some people and I get why I was upset. And some of them don't understand the satire or the or don't understand where I was coming from with the sarcasm. And actually, they thought that I was taking a stand against mental health issues, which I wasn't at all. But I have got an issue with pop stars using their platform irresponsibly, because Little Mix's fans' reaction to me has been insane. Like, the way that they behave. So one girl sent me a photo and a message saying, if you say anything about Perry again, I'll come and get you, bitch. And in a photograph of Perry holding a gun pointed at the camera. So I called the police, which is the funniest conversation I've ever had. I was in Wales and I phoned up this guy and he went, all right, love, what's going on then? And I was like, oh, I've had a death threat on the internet. He was like, oh God, is it Instagram again? And he was like, look, I can't do much about it, but we can log a complaint and I can get in touch with Instagram and then we'll get their account blocked. And I was like, great. I was like, that's fine. He was like, I'm sorry, I can't do much. And I was like, well, if I get shot in the face, at least I let someone know. And he was like, exactly, love.
And may I congratulate you? I think I'm going to issue my second gold star of the day because that Welsh accent, Jade, was mightily impressive.
It was top of the range, that was.
The other thing I want to talk about is the new show that you've got. And also, I mean, you got yourself into trouble over the Little Mix thing, but the black polo neck thing is making me laugh.
Every year I upset a group of fans. I upset Beyonce's fans last year, and this year it's Little Mix. And I will also perhaps upset Kylie Jenner's fans this year. I'm writing a show called The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Old Face.
Okay, now Kylie Jenner, which one is she?
The youngest one.
So isn't she the youngest multimillionaireess in the world?
Billionaire. She is a self-made billionaire. I'll tell you a brief story, but Robert Kardashian was the lawyer for OJ. They had this family. This woman just couldn't stop giving birth to girls. And she had like four girls and she's had a boy who you never hear about, and then she's had these two young girls.
He's not very Instagrammable, is he, the boy?
No, he's fat. They would never put him on. But I think he's the most inspiring one of all of them, actually. But she's put these girls, and this mother, I think the major issue with these girls, the girls are sweet enough. Like, hating on a Kardashian for about feminism is like kicking a puppy when you don't like werewolves. The major issue with this lot is the mother. She's this like megalomaniacal woman who's convinced her daughters to have surgery to adhere to a certain sort of beauty standard in America. And do you know what? The woman's made millions. She takes 10% of all of her daughter's earnings. Like, one of her daughter runs Good American, which is this plus size clothing range that's doing really well. One of her daughters is Kim Kardashian. We all know about her. Mm-hmm. Kylie Jenner's her youngest, who has just been named a self-made billionaire. But just to let you know, she was named a billionaire before she was a billionaire. She was about to get to it. Do you know what happened? Her fans started giving her money to make
like
her...
Oh, it was like crowdfunding.
No.
She was I'd like a crowd. Do you think I could pay off my mortgage with a crowdfund?
I think so.
I've got about 250 grand left on it, and it's like a thorn in my side.
What could you give them in return? Could you give them a little brick or something?
I've just dribbled badly because it upsets me so much. So to finish off our chat today, we would just want a little bit more about this new show and what you're hoping to achieve with it and where it's going to go and what it's going to win. Is it going to win Edinburgh?
It's going to win the whole of Edinburgh.
Good.
Yes. I'm doing a show. The Serious Black Jumper is me taking the mick out of how celebrities will...
As
soon as they take up an issue, they stick on a serious black jumper and everyone starts looking at them and listening to them.
And they make their earrings very small.
Yeah.
It's very discreet. All of a sudden, it's like they get out a single strand of pearl earrings and just two little tiny or a very discreet diamond. I mean, God love Emma Thompson. I don't know whether I'll allow this in, but when she came to do the extinction thing, she came on a plane. That's fine. She can't get away from LA any other way. But when I saw what she was wearing...
Turtleneck?
No, she was on the extinction thing. So, of course, she was wearing dungarees and a really scruffy old black T-shirt that was so washed out. And I thought, God bless you, Emma Thompson. You've gone to your wardrobe and you've thought, what's my costume for this? Oh, for fuck's sake!
Quite right.
And I love it. I love the absurdity that there is a costume to do good.
Yes.
I was in a shop the other day, and I think this is going to be the opening of my show, but I was in a shop the other day during the climate change protests, right? But I was in a shop beforehand, and I was stood with a woman, and she went to the woman behind the counter, and she went, are you protesting? And I went, what is it about this outfit that makes you think I'm protesting? And it was because I was wearing a black turtleneck, and I was like, oh, you think I'm doing good?
Yeah.
You think because of this, I'm either going to be an intellectual British killer in a movie, or I'm going to be a person who stands up on a podium and talks about climate change, or... you know, help the elephants or yeah. whatever the cause is. And I'm just so basically I'm taking a change in my career this year. I've gone from the drag queens and the sequins and the big hair. I'll be honest with you, I'm not the only one in the industry doing that anymore. So I'm moving away from that, and I've decided that it's all about black turtlenecks in order for me to start getting people to sort of really listen to my my thoughts.
We wish you the biggest luck in the world for Edinburgh this year. All I'm going to say is I don't know which venue you're in, but it might be a bit hot for a black turtleneck.
Pleasance 2 I'm in at 9:30 p.m. It's a big one, so
yeah,
it should
be fine. Yeah, that's not so bad. You should be all right. Leave the back doors open, but don't leave your purse around the side.
No, I won't at all.
It's the only advice I can give you in show business, really. I'm really sorry about that. That's all I can say. Never leave your purse backstage.
I think you've got a lot more advice to give me about comedy than that, Jenny.
Keep it all under my hat, love. Okay, it's really lovely to see you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
You may take your gold star.
Oh, thank you.
I think she deserves more than one gold star.
She can take two gold stars.
I'm blown away by you, actually.
Yeah. Oh, you're
really
so nice.
I'm sitting here and thinking, you are amazing.
I'm really
impressed.
If we get up to Edinburgh this year, we will be there on the front row.
Please come.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Yeah.
This has been so delightful, and it's so great to spend time with you. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.